Steam Ace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David James here with you. A reminder that Silly Underdog Picks is coming up in the next segment. If you are chosen to represent the people this week and you win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and Alice Cooper at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, September 21st. So if you want a chance at those tickets, be listening later this hour. But before
somebody,
we get there.
Somebody was commenting about
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach being a little old.
Yes.
Alice Cooper and Judas Priest, man, they're still rocking it, man. So don't worry about Papa Roach.
Alice Cooper is a spry 77 years old.
Only 77.
Just
a
77.
Young 77.
A young 77. That's right. Let's bring in our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow.
Yeah.
On Outkick. Hello, Hutton. I'll let you choose your own adventure here. Do you want a college football question or a Titans question?
Oh, let's go Titans. I mean, is there even college football this week in this city?
Do you think the praise for Cam Ward around the country after his performance on Sunday is bordering on or has exceeded hyperbole? Because I have heard Dan Orlovsky, and I've heard Lewis Riddick, and I've heard the Athletic Football Show, and they are all loving the tape on Cam Ward. And I know that Cam Ward's stat line is not a reflection of how he actually played on Sunday. But do you think it's been a little bit much, the praise that Cam Ward has received around the country for his performance on Sunday?
You know, maybe a little bit, but I think it, in large part, Adam, it's because they're just coming around to Cam Ward. You know, like I'm thinking about it. I liked a lot of what I saw. I was very encouraged. It's one of the few things that you come out of that game with where I'm like, Ward, to me, is not the issue. The first third down completion, that they need more of that in this offense. The pass that he had later in the game across his body, but to was it Ridley he went back to? A great throw across the field. Surprising maybe only to me, but he did not have a rushing attempt in this game. And, you know, the Denver defense is stout. It was best in the league last year. He did not receive help up front from his pass catchers. They had like a 10.7 drop rate in week one. That was only the Cowboys were worse in week one. He was pressured a league high 53% of his dropbacks. So, I mean, with all of that being considered and saying that he wasn't the reason why they went to Denver and lost. If the players around him step up, the rookie ends up winning in week one, and that's normally not the case. That's just players and coaches, not just players.
So let me ask you the college football question I would have asked you if had you chosen that one first.
Okay.
What will you be watching most closely, Georgia versus Tennessee on Saturday?
Well, it's more than just the quarterbacks. I want to see Josh Heupel scheme some things for Boo Carter. I don't know why you keep that dude on your team if you don't unleash him in this game. I don't want to point out every time he's on the field he's getting the football. I'm not saying that, but there's a reason why you need him, and the reason why he wants to be Travis Hunter of the SEC. Let the guy go do it against Georgia. They need things like that. And on top of that, you know, you're down your corners. We'll see what happens up front on the defensive line. I want to see what they can come up with, especially late in the game, where Vegas and everyone else, and talk around here, that everyone's expecting a close game. I think the line's like 3.5. If that's the case, the fourth quarter, the war of attrition when it comes to injuries, right now Tennessee's losing that battle. So I want to see who steps up and who can make a play, because right now Georgia's got the advantage at wide receiver and at quarterback in that moment. And especially in the run game, if Tennessee's going to be down what they seem to be right now in the middle of the defensive front.
You're right about, you know, people finally getting a chance now to look at Cam Ward, because it seems like they were preoccupied with a lot of other things, especially
they can't watch Shador, man.
Yeah, they can't watch Shador. They've already seen what Travis Hunter did. Right. Now they finally have come up for air and decided to look at the number one pick. And you're right. I think he played okay. I think he can get a lot better. I think his timing needs to speed up a little bit.
Totally
but
agree.
Even with all of that, the story wasn't him. The story was Brian Callahan. We haven't heard what your thoughts are on Brian. So what are they? Because we've said what we had to say, and we've had a bunch of texters and callers talk about Brian Callahan a lot, you know, saying that he's not the guy, but then you have some guys that say, guys and girls that text and call in and say, hey, give him, you know, continue to give him a shot. Be patient with him. Where do you stand with Brian Callahan?
Well, I mean, I don't want to fire him today, mm-hmm. but, I mean, it's headed down that path, quite frankly, guys. I mean, look, game 18, if we're just being honest with everything, draft, develop, retain, a lot of this is develop. We should be seeing development from the head coach and the coaching staff. In this game, they go on the road. Offensively, they have 30 yards in the second half. Their final seven possessions lost 54 yards. We can go through all these different things. But ultimately, the offense of Brian Callahan has to be better than a terrible, measly 2.5 yards per play on third down, on pass plays. Offense on first down, they're barely worst in the league in that regard too. So, look, I don't see the offense, Mace. I don't see an offense that, to me, just works. Just all of a sudden hits a second gear, third gear. They don't have the players to push the ball downfield as much as they are. You know, like there are ways I think you can help Cam Ward moving forward by just taking what's there. And maybe he misses on a few of those when you watch the tape back. But, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I would dictate where the ball's going to go just based on the play call. And when you realize that they're pushing the ball downfield at a rate that is not anywhere close to what they should be doing, that's not good for a rookie quarterback who doesn't have an offensive line right now or right tackle based on the injury report, and a team that has 13 penalties for 131 yards in week one. I mean, that's a league high. That's what he stressed all offseason. That's what's all this – all these group settings and team building exercise, that was going to help the penalty. It's right back to what it was. Ultimately, the question is this. Does the locker room buy in to Callahan? That's what it comes down to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we see the same mistakes and the same issues and, you know, 70% of their offensive sets and reach third down, 35% of their sets produced a new first down. That's the lowest rate in the NFL. It doesn't matter the quarterback. And then on top of all of that, they still could have won the game. I don't understand what happened right before half. Which is more egregious to you guys?
Oh, before the half was more egregious.
But before the half, I'm sorry. Which is more egregious? The way that he treated the end of the half, throwing the football from the end zone, or not knowing the rule. I have gone back and forth on this.
I would say before the half.
I think before the half.
You're in a silent count. You're putting your rookie back against the end zone on the road. Mm-hmm. There's no Denver's getting the football to begin the second half. There is no reason to push the issue. No.
I would say on the other front, Hutt,
go ahead.
If on the not knowing the rule, in theory, if your operating system, if you've surrounded yourself with the right people, you don't have to know rules. Even though that's one he should know that rule. But in theory, he may not have seen. You're always on a challenge going to be relying on the people who are. That's their. It's you know the old. You have one job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what let him down there. I don't put that on him, but his decision in the end of the half,
but Willie,
that is much more egregious, I think.
This is an offensive coach who, I mean, here's how I would equate this. There are certain stories in the Bible that if you're a pastor, you just know. Like, you know, like you can go from anywhere from Job to Daniel in the lion's den. right? But the elbow equaling 2 feet is something that dude's got to know.
But he may not see that. Like, depending on where he was, it's a guy in the booth should be saying challenge. Like, that's all I'm listening to.
Well, he may not see that, but he said that one elbow needs another foot.
Right. What he said got him in a lot of trouble.
Right.
No question about it. That was
the most truthful response, honestly, from him. I really have a hard time believing that someone's full-time job, like what your only job is that up in the booth, not knowing that rule. That's really, really bad. That's very telling about this whole thing. If that's the case, like I respect Callahan for not throwing anyone on the bus, but at the same time, he also is exactly right. The buck stops with him. I can't explain it. That, especially given the fact, I mean, as long as we've the Titans have been here, they've had coaches that know the rule book in and out. You know, Vrabel was very good at that. Fisher was very. This is something that just like this isn't like an interpretation by an official. This is just like, are you inbounds or not? It's really bad.
Well,
that's indicative of just the experience of everything here.
Yeah, and those are things that you expect an offensive minded guy to know.
Right.
I think it was one of those situations. It's another pressure situation where you came out on the wrong end of it. Whereas a head coach, you should know that question is going to be asked of you at the podium. You do not say, and I repeat, you do not say, I don't know the rule. You don't say that. You say, as a head coach, listen, I didn't want to challenge it because I didn't see it. Time was running down, whatever. We just didn't get to it. I take it. That's my bad. I know I should have challenged it, but I didn't. But to say you didn't know the rule, that's malpractice right there, I believe, as a head coach. You just can't do some things we shouldn't know.
Totally, yep. And so this leads me to, maybe this is fair or unfair, you guys can tell me, but would Callahan and his staff have handled the end of the game the same way Minnesota's staff did in Chicago? I doubt it, just based on this.
That guy's the hottest coach going right now.
Oh, yeah, McConnell.
I totally agree.
He looks like a genius.
But he made sure that there were no issues in winning that game. The coach got in the way here, and hey, I heard a caller on the station earlier today bring up the point, and I thought it was a good one. It may have been Robbie and Rexford with PK. The fact that, you know, he's talking about that in Chicago last year, we could have literally, he's talking about his team, we could have literally just handed off and punted every single possession and won the game had the quarterback not screwed up. And that's really what Denver allowed them to do. And they still leave there 0-1, and Denver did everything possible to hand that game away.
Adam looked it up. When you're plus 3 in turnovers, you win 93% of the time. So it's
Since
2000. I'd say that's a pretty good sample size. What did you have, like 1,200 games or something?
1,274 examples. 92.5 winning percentage.
That was the BAG stat of the day yesterday.
Yes.
The big ass glasses.
Plus three. It had been since like 2022, I think. 2021 or 2022, since the defense had been plus 3 like that. And they had 5 possessions in opponent territory that started in opponent. They still only scored 12 points. Like, man, it's a rough way to start the season, considering the stress that they put on certain things throughout the offseason. It's more than just Callahan not knowing the rule. But when you see the penalties and the offensive line now hurt on right tackle, there are things that it feels like 2024.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Hutt, do you think this is a great situation for Tennessee to be in as a home dog, because there's a little bit of house money, right? I can remember asking Chad a couple weeks ago before the season started, hey, if you got through the season at 9-3, I mean, that's great based on all of the adversity you were thrown with the timing of the whole Nico thing. Now you're sitting there only a 3.5-point dog against Georgia. Georgia, maybe for the first time in a couple years, you may disagree, looks a little more gettable. Tell me what you think.
I agree. I had them in the playoff, but I don't have them high in the playoff this year. Like, at some point, there has to be some teams that, if they not catch up to Georgia necessarily, but close the gap just based on NIL and the transfer portal. Tennessee's not fully there, but they have five stars. They've got certain players that should be step. Again, they're capable, and you know, I don't get the sense that it's like Alabama from 2022. Now I'll regret saying that whenever they tear down the goalposts on Saturday, but I'm not so sure that Tennessee fans are just so certain that this is for the taking because of Kirby Smart and what he's done against Josh Heupel. You know, there have been flashes of decent play, but what, they haven't thrown for a touchdown since what, 2021 against Georgia? That's a while. It's 2021 or 2022.
Are you buying in though the narrative that seems to be gaining steam because he's done so well that Aguilar, if he's not more talented than Nico, put that aside, but
yeah,
with his experience and his understanding of the game being a little bit older, might be a better operator of the offense.
Well, and his we're going to find out if he can be rattled, because now the schedule cranks up here. But like, yeah, I mean, there are going to be some pressure moments where he steps up and makes the play or not, right? To make the right read or not. And I also, and he's not afraid to throw across the middle. I want to see the tight ends get more involved here. Again, I mentioned Carter. They're capable, Willie, but like, again, I look at the Tennessee defense and I wonder what happens in the second half when things start to wear down. Can Aguilar continue the momentum if they get some going early when things settle into this game? And by and large, I'm not expecting a shootout by any means. When things settle in, when the real game starts, does he execute what Heupel's doing? And does Heupel put him in situations that are going to be beneficial to him in some moments where he's up against a solid front that's going to be playing in the NFL in a year or two? Like, I'm impressed with what I've seen, yes. But I will say the bar was set very low for me because of just the situation. So I'm trying to be fair to him. He's been very good considering the circumstances and how quickly he came in and took over. I think he's well liked by his teammates and by the staff for sure, and we find out if they're going to start calling him Joey Football starting on Saturday.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vink, and Adonic, as he is every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah. Final thought: L'Jarius Sneed, allow that dude to play in the second half. Thank you.
Well said, Jonathan Hutton.
All right. Hey, underdogs, I'll be listening.
Okay.
No doubt.
Well, you heard the man. Week 3 of Silly Underdog Picks is coming up next. Remember, not in this next segment, but in the following segment, we will give you an opportunity to represent the people. If you are that person and you pick correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and Alice Cooper at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, September 21st. So listen to the cue to call at the end of the next segment if you want to represent the people this week. Silly Underdog Picks is next. Willie Donick, oh God, get me the break. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.